It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. There is a quorum present, so we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Bringing us on to item number three, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for October 5th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
We do have two changes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, what are they?
We recommend that we continue number 18, that is the NDOT signal maintenance agreement, and that we continue number 19, which is a salary resolution matter, to the October 19, 2021 County Commission meeting here at the courthouse.
All right. Noted. All right, if there's any public comment from anyone on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself. Anyone in person, welcome to come up to the podium. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No.
All right. Would you entertain a motion then?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the continuance of items 18 and 19 to our next meeting.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number four, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the minutes for the August 17th, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for the August meeting? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or changes?
No comment, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No.
All right, would you entertain a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of the August 17th, 2021 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
None, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Next on the agenda is public comment. As a reminder, public comments limited to 3 minutes and on items not specifically listed in today's agenda. Is there any public comment today? Give it just a second. Not seeing any public comment, we will move right along to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we're going to go ahead and start off with the Sheriff's Office today.
Good morning, Commission. The only thing I have for this section is I'd like to acknowledge Federal Magistrate William Cobb. Sorry about that. He made a donation to us recently. His grandfather had been sheriff here back in the 40s. He donated a photograph of his grandfather and his father's actual badge that we have on display here at the sheriff's office. And he also donated a photograph or a painting that I'll let the county clerk discuss if she cares to, of the courthouse. So just wanted to acknowledge Judge Cobb and his donation to us, pretty significant part of history.
Great. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the fire department. I know Chief Longcar is out. Any comments from the fire department today?
Everything I have is just agenda items. Other than that, everything's status quo.
Noted. All right. Moving right along to Public Works, Jason Rusbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Rusbicki for the record. Just a quick update. We are still down in Mark Twain, getting close to wrapping up this year's cleanup down there in drainage. And move on to getting ready for the winter. That's all I have.
Thanks for that, Jason. Moving right along to projects, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operations and Projects Coordinator. I have several items to update the board with today. Start with the column repair at the VNT Freight Depot is complete. Structure is back to the structural level that it was prior to the 6.0 earthquake that broke two of our columns. So that's now repaired and back the way it was. I have been talking to Public Works about getting the site cleaned up, get some of the brush out of there and some of the trash that's blown in over the last couple of event weekends. Item number two, we received the 100% review set of plans for the Virginia City Highlands Fire Station 72, the fire apparatus building. And this is, of course, the first phase in providing a community meeting space at that station. There are a couple small changes that need to be made to the plans, but we should be out to bid on that in a couple of weeks. And I'll keep the board posted on that. Item three, the IT addition is totally complete. Punch list items are complete. The IT department has moved in and is operational there. Item four goes along with that. I'm going to be working with the tenants of that building on a site improvement plan that will address traffic, deliveries, parking, peak load considerations in a way that's most efficient and hopefully beneficial to the tenants of that building. Item five is the Lockwood Community Center. Now, some time ago, I had informed the board that we had received plans for the Lockwood Senior Center, which was our attempt to build a commercial kitchen onto that facility. Staff was unhappy with the plans and the way that came out. For a variety of reasons I'd be happy to go into if you're interested. Staff rejected that design and began to consider a new facility. So we put together a working group that involves Public Works, Project Management, Comptroller's Office, Community Relations, and, of course, most importantly, Senior Services. We'll be including maybe some other services directors as we explore the possible functions of this facility. We'll also be looking at direct involvement of the community members in this process as we move forward, maybe an advisory board or a fundraising board, some way of direct involvement. So we began with pre-planning a full-service community center with an eye toward flexibility of design and how best to leverage funding opportunities for such a center. We looked at the Lockwood community itself and found several needs that need to be addressed. In addition to the social and civic services, that community is uniquely at risk for a number of things that include flooding, fires, seismic events, and with a major transportation artery running right through the middle of it, possible hazmat events. So we're therefore looking at possible uses of this facility that would include things like an evacuation rally point, possibly an emergency operations center, which also open up funding avenues. So we started a vigorous information gathering effort. We visited community and senior centers in Churchill, Lyon, and Douglas counties to see what elements of their facilities were working and which weren't. This resulted in a wealth of information and resources to drive the design, services, funding, and operational aspects of this proposed facility. What we found is those counties landed on the same principles that we identified in our pre-planning, and the main one is the layering of uses or functions within multi-use spaces that effectively leverage the funding opportunities, but also provide the best flexibility in the design to accommodate a larger number of and different types of services. So I'm very excited about this project, and I will keep the board informed as we move forward. And I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
I do not have questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Mike. Moving on to communications, Becky Parsons.
Hi, this is Becky Parkins with Communications. I do not have anything to report today.
All right, thank you. Emergency management, Laura Mather. I almost said Joe. Almost.
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather, Acting Emergency Management Director. Okay, starting off with COVID-19. For the week ending September 29th, we had 12 new cases, 4 recoveries. That leaves us at 49 active cases. The prior week, we had 11 new positives. So this keeps us under the more restrictive mask mandates at this time. Now, I think one thing to keep in mind as we continue on through this pandemic is that those are cases that are officially reported. The use of home COVID-19 tests are becoming more and more popular, for lack of a better word. This time, I don't know how that will affect reporting or how that will change it, but I definitely will keep an ear out on the meetings that we have and report as to how that may or may not change the official reporting of cases.
Laura, if I may, how are they tracking these at home now? A lot of folks are doing the at home COVID test. There's no tracking of that of any kind, is there?
Nope, none, no kind. So, which brings up a lot of questions as to how exactly what is reported it can be considered accurate. This Thursday, October 7th, at the Virginia City Senior Center, Carson City Health and Human Services will be doing both a testing and a vaccination pod. Testing is from 1:30 to 2:30. COVID vaccinations are 3:30 to 4:30. All of three of the vaccination types will be available. So the Pfizer boosters are now available. So I'm going to kind of go through a lot of really important points that go along with that booster. So the booster shots only apply for those who receive the Pfizer series, and shots cannot be mixed. So if you got a Moderna, the Pfizer booster is now available. You cannot get the Pfizer. The third dose, which is different than the booster, those apply to people who are moderately and severely immunocompromised, and that applies to both Moderna and Pfizer. So if you need a third dose because you're immunocompromised, you can get the Pfizer or Moderna. If you're looking for a booster shot, then that is going to be strictly the Pfizer vaccination. And it's important that everybody brings their vaccination cards so that they can show that they received the first series and the fact that they received the Pfizer or Moderna or the Janssen. So for the Pfizer vaccination that is considered the booster, not the third dose, that is going to be given after 6 months after the initial series. And that at this time is for anybody who is 65 years or older, 18 or older who are living in long-term care settings, 18 and older who have underlying medical conditions, 18 or older who work in high-risk settings, or 18 and older who live in high-risk settings. So again, any questions on these, gethealthycarsoncity.org, Carson City Health and Human Services Hotline, which is their COVID hotline, and that's 775-434-1988. Or any questions, can call us at Emergency Management and Community Relations at 847-0986. On the same line of the accuracy of the COVID-19 vaccinations, one of the things that we've been concerned about and monitoring is Story County's vaccination rate. We have felt all along that it was lower than actual. So with the help of RAD Strategies, we have put out a survey. So currently there is an online survey that people can take. It asks no personal information. All we want to know is who in the county or how many people in the county have been vaccinated, the type of vaccine, and whether they received the first or second dose. It's going to be, probably is by now, it's on the county website, the banner at the top, where it's the COVID-19 information. Click on that. That'll take you to the link. It's also out on all of our social media. I realize not everybody gets on the internet all the time or uses social media. So again, emergency management number 847-0986. People are welcome to call me. I can take that information over the phone. I would be happy to hand deliver paper copies of the survey. And again, it's no personal information. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. The survey will be open until October 17th. So far, we've received over 200 responses. So we're getting, so far, a great response. We just opened it on Friday. So we're really hoping that that response continues. And it can give, you know, the county as a whole a good understanding of what the vaccination percentage is. Also, any outlying agencies that might question that as well. As far as other items, I want to remind everybody about our community project grant. I have not received one phone call or question on it. I'm hoping that it's just so well written, nobody has any questions. But I question that. So I'm asking for everybody to help us get the word out on those project grant applications. Again, I'd be happy to hand deliver the application. Any questions, give me a call. I will gladly, myself and Henny, who worked on the grant application with me, we would be happy to help fill it out, to help people come up with the projects, any of the required information. We are just, we're there to help. I think these project opportunities are really important, and I've heard some ideas about different projects in the different communities. They would fall under this perfectly. So, again, if everybody can help us get that word out, that would be great. September 23rd and 24th, we attended the State of Nevada Department of Emergency Management, FIRA, which is a Threat and Hazard Identification and Risk Assessment. The first day that we were on that, it was on Zoom. The second day, we were in person. And this FIRA is a risk assessment that's done every 3 years. And what it does is it helps the state of Nevada sort of figure out any gaps or needs within emergency management. So we went through scenarios that ranged from wildfires, mass shootings, earthquakes, pandemics, all of those things. And they created different scenarios on how each of the communities in Nevada respond to that. And what that does is it helps the state as well as the individual communities realize where gaps are. The largest gap that we have seen over the past year is training, because nobody's been able to meet in person and go through a lot of training that is available. Also, which I think is a really important part of this, is it helps FEMA understand what communities need as far as funding. So it helps FEMA sort of decide what kind of funding projects they're going to send out to the state and then through to the counties as far as emergency management resources and needs. So that was a great learning experience all around. That is the end of my report, but I wanted to give Honey Tapley's report. She is currently at the Main Street program presentation in Fernley. So she researched and drafted a grant that we discussed a couple of meetings ago, and that was State Historic Preservation Office's Historic Preservation Fund grant, where we applied for grants to restore the front walkway in front of the courthouse. We've talked about that a lot and the importance of getting those stones replaced and flattened out and smooth. The total amount of funds for the entire state was $96,000, which frankly is not that much. So we asked for $50,000. We just received notice that we were awarded $32,000 towards that project and for that grant. There were five projects that were submitted under this grant application, and Story County got the most amount, so we're proud of that. it was Story County, then Las Vegas, Winnemucca, Boulder City. So there were some really great projects, and we were really proud to receive the highest amount to go towards that front walkway step replacement. So we will work closely with SHPO and their historic structures expert to decide the best way to fix those front blocks, because they are, you know, very bumpy. So we don't know if that will be planing them or filling them, and we will work with SHPO staff to do the best, to make the best decision when it comes to restoring them, replacing those blocks. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
No questions. Thank you, Laura, very much.
Vice Chairman?
My only question is, I'm trying to wrap my... I support your efforts in trying to get better data as far as making decisions and recommendations on COVID. I'm trying to understand, we have 49 active cases, 40-something, let's call it. And in the last 2 weeks, we've had 12 and 11 reported new cases. Is it possible, is it possible that recoveries are not being reported in a timely fashion or not being reported at all? Because as far as I understand it, 10 days, 14 days, we should be seeing the end.
We should, and part of the problem is backlog when it comes to the state and Carson City Health and Human Services. So when a COVID positive case is officially, you know, not a home test, is officially reported and tracked, what happens is Carson City Health and Human Services recorders or reporters, they will contact the people who are positive throughout a certain timeline. If at the end of the quarantine period, 14 days, if they are unable to reach that person and actually speak with them in person, ask them a lot of questions and get a lot of answers, if they can't get a hold of that person, then they cannot take them off of the positive list until 30 days after. I'm not sure if it's after the positive report or the last communication. So if Health and Human Services can't talk to that person directly, then they cannot remove it off of the positive list for that 30-day period. And they're finding that that's happening a lot. Whether they just can't get a hold of the person doesn't want to talk to them because, you know, they're tired of being monitored, whatever reason. If they can't talk to that person, then it doesn't go off the positive list for that time period. So I would encourage people, I understand it's frustrating having somebody ask questions, but I would encourage people to answer that call and get that final okay so that they're taken off that positive list.
Great. And then with the COVID, with the survey, are you hoping to get data from not just those who have been vaccinated, but broad-based across the community? Is that helpful to get as representative a sample as possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If we could get everybody just to log in and answer that first yes or no question, that would be great.
Great. Thank you.
And because we obviously, as a county as a whole, we're really concerned, and we want both our citizens and others who are involved, other agencies, to know that we care about this and we are concerned about it, and we want accurate information, and we're doing our best to reach out and get that.
Absolutely, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Any other questions? Moving on to the VCTC, Danny Dotson. He's not on today? All right. All things water and sewer, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners. I figured that you could hear me okay.
Yep.
I've been having a little trouble with the computer, so. Very good. Thank you. For the record, again, Mike Nevin. I'll start with the Hillside Tanks Project. I'm happy to report that the substantial completion inspection was conducted with USDA on the 22nd of September. There were a couple of little outstanding items that needed to be finished. Both have since been addressed. One was the completion of the fencing around the site. The other one was some repairs that needed to be done at the outflow brow ditch That's the ditch that carries water if we ever have to drain those tanks down and around the wastewater or the water treatment facility there. Last Friday, they did complete that. They had one issue with the flapper valve, and yesterday, that has also been completed. So we should wrap up all final paperwork with USDA on that project by the end of this month. We're waiting for the engineering firm to get us the as-built drawings and some operation and maintenance manuals for the cathodic protection device. So I see no reason that that project will not be wrapped up in its entirety before the end of this month. So good thing there. Moving on to the Gold Hill project, USDA and SRF conducted an on-site inspection of that project on the 22nd as well. There are a couple of issues still outstanding. One being that the fabrication of the louvers for the building had been delayed due to supply chain issues. You know the drill there. I'm not going to go into a dissertation about that. But I will inform you that those louvers are scheduled to be completed and delivered to the site by the 18th of this month. And then Raymond Brothers will install those in the building. The week of the 11th, which is next week, the painters will be back on site to finish up the exterior door painting as well as the interior column painting that's required for completion of that building. And I am happy to report that the plant itself is now up and operational. The training and startup was completed last week. Very few problems. There were a couple of little issues, electrical, that were easily resolved. So that plant is up processing sewage as we speak. I've heard no ill reports from either one of the operators. I was down there yesterday myself. Things were looking good, and we're happy on how it turned out in the operation as well. So good news there. So we're hoping for substantial completion of that project by the end of October, and with wrap up of all the final payment requirements of USDA and SRF by about the middle of November. So that concludes my report, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
I have no questions. Thanks, Mike.
Vice Chairman?
No. You're welcome to see that, that progress.
Yep. All right. Thanks again, Mike. Appreciate the update.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the Comptroller's Office. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. I wanted to let you know that our audit is still moving forward smoothly, and we are on track to finish within taxation's guidelines and due dates. Should have an audit for you to review in a December meeting. As well, I am currently reviewing our first quarter of the current fiscal year budget to actuals, so I'll be able to report that to you at the next meeting. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer. Moving on to the Assessor's Office. Assessor Seddon, is she with us? No. Planning Department. Kathy or Lindy?
Nothing today except what I have on the agenda.
All right. Recorder's Office, Marnie Martinez.
Good morning. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thanks, Marnie.
Thank you.
IT Department, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. As Mike Northen stated, we are 100% moved into our new building, and the trailer at Public Works has been hauled away, so they've got their parking lot back. Thank you, Public Works and Community Development, for sharing that with us for a year or so. And that's all I have today.
Thank you, James. Moving on to Human Resources, Toby Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Human Resources has nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Community Development, Pete Renaud.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning. I just wanted to point out a milestone. Chris Hannum, our code enforcement and nuisance officer, has been here 1 year. His milestone is he's abated 36 nuisances. Unfortunately, we have 31 new ones. But he is taking care of a nuisance every 10 days, it seems. On another note, I'll be going out and attending a meeting today about the effluent pipeline. They're currently working above the Menezes property, which is pretty treacherous terrain up there. They will be moving down into the Rainbow Bend in the future. I'll probably know more today on a timeline. So they'll be coming down Canyon Way, crossing over the drainage, and then running along the backside of Rainbow Bend between the elementary school and the houses there. Again, I'll find out more of a timeline today or in the near future. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
You bet.
Moving on to Community Chest. Do we have Eric Schoen with us today?
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yep. Loud and clear, Eric.
All right. Well, hey, I just wanted to share a highlight from last Friday night. If there was a scene that might have epitomized Norman Rockwell painting come to life, that sort of brings to life the virtues of small town living. Last Friday night, we had our first drive-in movie at the parking lot across from the swimming pool. And it was a perfectly still night, perfect temperatures. We had 25 cars, about 100 people. The volleyball team was selling concessions. If you've never been, the magic hour to be there, which I invite folks to come, we have another one on this Friday, and I think the Friday after that. But the 45 minutes before the movie starts, movie usually starts about 7:30, are the most magical, because that's when all the adults are out talking to one another, getting caught up. And you have the little kids zipping around on their scooters, talking to each other, going over to the playground in the park. It's just, it's the most idyllic scene, and it's just so heartwarming. It's one of those best versions of why we all love working and living in Story County. So, again, if you haven't attended one, adults are welcome to come on their own to these drive-in movie nights. You don't have to have kiddos with you. In fact, we had a couple of grandparents who came on their own because they so enjoyed coming last year with their grandkids. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful, magical scene. So, again, we have another drive-in movie coming up this Friday night. And the Friday night after that, then on the 22nd, we will have our haunted ride-along where we turn Virginia City into a virtual haunted house with character actors, and you'll see myself dressed up as the Mad Hatter in front of the Red Dog. And we take caravans of cars through who are listening to sort of a haunted soundtrack as they drive through the city. So that'll happen on Friday the 22nd. But yeah, that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Eric?
No questions. It sounds like a lot of fun, though. Yeah. Great program.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Vice Chairman, anything?
Thank you.
All right. And just to confirm, Eric, so you got it this Friday night, next Friday night, and then are they ending for the season, or they keep going?
Well, they're actually, rumors are, and I think my staff is busy scheduling these, they will try to do another couple in November. But I don't want to throw out any dates yet because I don't know when they're trying to do those.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
Thank you again for the update, Eric.
Sure, you're welcome.
All right, moving right along to the Senior Center, Stacey York. actually is. All right. Moving on to the Justice Court, Judge Harrington. I don't think. Oh, there's Stacy. Stacy, did you have anything for us? All right, well, we'll skip Stacy. Moving on to the District Attorney's Office. You left that DA Langer on there?
Cesar Mike isn't working for Stacy.
Oh, okay.
Are you on to the DA's office, Mr. Chairman?
We are.
Nothing today.
All right, thank you. I'll move on to the county manager. Well, maybe Stacy can figure out her mic.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not seeing her. It looks like she's still on mute. All right. Well, I'll go ahead, and then if it gets better, we'll see. Just a couple things. IT and a lot of our other folks are still working on the county website update. There will be a contract coming to this board shortly. There's just some back and forth going on the draft for that contract. We believe that that website will be coming around January, maybe December, and then there'll be some building that goes on beyond that. The next thing is there is a town hall coming up October 7th, this Thursday at 5:30 at the Louise Perry Park in Lockwood. We've published this very heavily in the Lockwood community. This is a very important meeting. It's not necessarily just the normal open air town hall. It is gonna be focused on flooding and FEMA, NFIP flood insurance, and lots of other things. Kathy from planning has put an agenda together, and there's gonna be a whole team approach. Different folks from our group, also Kathy's invited someone from the state. There'll be a lot of really qualified people there to discuss not only what may be happening with FEMA down the road, but also to answer questions from people in that community, including what options there might be in the future to resolve problems or problems that might be caused by federal government. The next thing, there will be another town hall coming in Virginia City. We're still looking at a location, maybe at Piper's, maybe at the Senior Center, but something where we can spread people out with COVID. That one will be in November, and we're still working on a date for that. And then just want to remind us that Laura Mather now is our acting emergency management director with Joe Curtis's retirement, and doing a fine job at that. And then we'll be looking for Joe Curtis's retirement celebration at Piper's this weekend or this Friday, as well as at this commission meeting on the 19th for a recognition for him. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell? No,
thank you.
All right. Okay. Great. So let's go to, you said Stacy's phone is working?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Stacy and then Erica.
She need to unmute her phone.
Okay, this is Stacy. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Sorry about that. So Stacy York for the record. Just wanted to update on flu clinic dates. So October 7th at the Lockwood Community Senior Center from 9 to 11 will be a flu shot clinic. On that same day, October 7th, up here in Virginia City, we'll have flu shots 3:30 to 4:30. And next Wednesday, October 13th, we will have in the Highlands Fire Station from 4:30 to 6:30. Those vaccination surveys that Laura was discussing, we do have paper copies available at both senior centers for anybody who cannot access a computer. And for something fun, we are going to try our lasagna cook-off this year since it was canceled last year. Our tentative date is November 5th at 6 p.m. Come talk to me if you want tickets or if you want to sign up to be a judge or cook. And that is all for today.
All right. Thank you for that, Stacy.
Thank you.
Moving on to Erica Perry at St. Mary's Art Center.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to give a couple updates on behalf of Virginia City Tourism Commission. Denny Dotson and his staff are currently in the Main Street program and unable to attend. But we wanted to welcome Kimberly Berciaga, who is our new marketing manager. We're super excited to have her join the team. She's going to bring some unique skill sets and expertise and will be a great addition to the team. So look forward to meeting her. Moving on to St. Mary's Art Center, first we wanted to thank Jason for the lawn aeration work. We're hoping that our lawn will rally. We have also identified a contractor, finally, for the State Historic Preservation Office CCCHP grant, which is Simerson USA. They have been working diligently on some creative problem solving to address porch leak issues, print room issues, the chimney repointing repair work, and east facade window restoration. They have sent in their budget or their bid amount, and it is more than double what the grant amount is. We were awarded $100,000. The bid came in at $206,000. So we are working with the State Historic Preservation Office and have submitted an additional funding request for that. They, fortunately for us, hopefully, were their $200,000 grant to the Neon Museum in Las Vegas was returned to them. So they are redistributing it to the other current grantees in that program. And so we have submitted a request with three different options and funding request amounts. And we'll look forward to hearing what the commission votes on that and we'll report back. We may have to adjust our scope of work or find creative solutions, but I wanted to give an update because we're very excited to have finally identified a contractor willing to do this during the construction boom. And of course, historic buildings being more cumbersome and time consuming for contractors. They will do the majority of their work in March and April of next year because of their own calendar and also so that they can coordinate closely with all of us and the State Historic Preservation Office. Additionally, this Saturday, we have our fall art reception and with live music. This reception is important because it honors a local artist, Larry Williamson, who many of you may know. He's an amazing folk artist, sculptor, and his work, along with Tom Gilbertson and Ed Shep, is a kind of triumvirate of friends. And Tom also owned an art gallery in Virginia City back in the day. So for those interested in meeting them or seeing their work, this would be a great time, and it may be one of the few remaining exhibitions that these gentlemen offer. And Ed Shepard has a particularly powerful exhibition of prominent African-American women portraitures that he has created. And we will have Doug Sandel live music playing from 12 to 2, possibly 12 to 3, our second musician unfortunately cut her hand with a tomato and knife effort, and so she is not going to be performing from 3 to 5 as planned. Admission to that is free. We have also launched our Imaginations Children's Art Program. Again, we have identified a replacement for that program lead, which is Renee Grennan. She is going to be an amazing asset to us, has a great following with kids and repertoire of artistic talents and education services. So we look forward to having her. That first class will be Pumpkins and Picasso on the 10th at 9:30 a.m. And then we also have, of course, with Haunttober, we have our own twist to that. One is a monthly paranormal investigation that we have just kicked off. It will be October 16th. Advanced registration is required, and it's with Women Investigating Ghost Sightings. And then we also have our Halloween Tricks, Treats, and Art for Kids on the 31st from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. And following that from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. is Ghost Investigations for Teens. And this is only a spot of 15 kids, but this is something designed to hopefully give our teenagers something fun to do in their own community. And again, advanced registration is required. And then lastly, we have our annual Halloween paranormal investigation and sleepover, which is a critical fundraiser for us. and that will be Friday through Sunday, and tickets are available on Eventbrite. Added to that, we have updated our website, and we now allow pre-scheduled bookings for private access to the art galleries and historical tours, art classes, and some of our special events. So for those of you interested, it's hopefully very interactive. We've also added a calendar that will hopefully give a little bit more transparency to when our very complicated calendar allows us to be open for those tours or when different classes, events, and closures are occurring due to retreats. We have also opened a new arts-focused library on the fourth floor in the South Gallery. It's a very warm, cozy space and probably the only lounge space really within the property. And so far it's received rave reviews, particularly from the writing group so far. We also are working on restoration installation of theater seats from the former Virginia City Theater on C Street where Grandma's Fudge is located. This will be a 20-person theater that's designed to watch movies, host poetry readings, artist critiques, and a variety of other uses. So we hope to have that ready for Saturday, at least the seating installation part, but that may not be the case. It is a pretty time-consuming process, and Beth Day is doing an amazing job with that. So unless there's any other questions, that is my update.
Thank you for that, Erica. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Erica?
Sounds like a busy calendar. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Erica. I appreciate it. Last but not least, on staff reports, we have the clerk's office. Anything?
Yeah.
All right.
I just wanted to piggyback on what the sheriff had mentioned. Judge Cobb donated a really neat drawing of the Justice of Peace that's on the front of our building, and we plan to hang it here in the courtroom. Right now it's in my office if anybody wants to check it out, but we will put it in here. So thank you to him.
Great.
That's it.
Thank you. All right. I appreciate all staff on their taking some time to give us some reports. This will bring us to item number 8, board comments. I'm going to start on my far left. Commissioner Gilman, anything today?
No, I
today?
Have nothing new today. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
And I don't have anything either. So that'll bring us on to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Presentation by the Western Nevada Development District regarding goals, services, programs, and performance to the counties which WNDD services, including Story County.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Nice to see you all. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Cheryl Gonzalez. I'm the executive director with Western Nevada Development District. And I try and make a round to all of the counties that are members and the cities that are members of our organization and give them an overview of who we are, what we do, how we're benefiting your communities. We have lots of new members that come on after an election. And so we want to make sure that everybody's well informed and answer any questions they might have. So I'm just going to give you a quick overview and tell you a little bit about our work and our goals. First of all, Western Nevada Development District has been around for 38 years. We were established in 1983. I believe Story County was one of the founding members. We are the only, at this point, we're the only development district in the state of Nevada. The Governor's Office of Economic Development is working with all the regional development authorities to establish other development districts throughout the state because the state has found out that they've left a lot of money on the table by not establishing development districts through the state. So the next district that is on line to be established is in Northern Nevada through the Northeastern Nevada Regional Development Authority, which is headed up by Sheldon Mudd. That it'll be just any day now where they will be established by Economic Development Administration as a development district. There are also two others that are on the calendar. One is in Southern Nevada, probably being spearheaded by Las Vegas. In fact, I know it's being spearheaded by the Las Vegas Global Economic Development Alliance, as well as I believe Lincoln County is looking at forming a district as well. We are a multi-jurisdictional county. We're comprised right now of 8 counties and 6 cities. If you talk to Carson City, it's really 7 counties and 7 cities. We were just corrected on that. And we have now 18 associate members. When I first came on board as the executive director, we had one less county, one less city, and only two associate members. So we've really done a good job, I think, in looping in important economic development partners, which includes the other regional development authorities in our region that we represent, except for NNDA, but we're getting there. Our funding primarily comes from the Economic Development Administration out of the U.S. Department of Commerce. We also get funding from our members, as well as we received, funding from the Economic Development CARES Act. We have also received money through EPA for a Brownfields grant. We, again, we're a board comprised of elected and appointed officials. Each county that is a member of the board is entitled to have an elected official, an appointed member, and then also a business representative. The Story County representatives include Clay Mitchell and Laura Mather, which we really appreciate their participation. We were, again, established through the Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration, and the way that we are established is that we have what's called a comprehensive economic development strategy, which, by the way, Clay, I have your night reading right here for you. Our most recent SEDS, our comprehensive economic development strategy, this is a regional plan that we have to rewrite every 5 years for EDA to continue our designation, and we update it annually. This last year, we received a grant for $400,000 from the CARES Act to develop a regional economic recovery and resiliency plan, which I'll go into a little bit later. That economic recovery and resiliency plan is in this document. And I thought it was just better to have one planning document rather than two planning documents to follow, and EDA approved that. We're not a regional authority. One of the things I like to really clear up with people is that NNDA, EDON, Northeastern Nevada Regional Development Authority, LVGEA, those are regional development authorities. They are established through the state, and they are funded by the state out of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Their mission is to recruit, retain, and expand business for our region, and our mission is to create an environment within which economic development can occur. Okay, I'll get through all of that. Our goals and strategies this year, or for probably about 5 years, we have four target goal areas, and that came out of the SEDS and ERR process. Our four target goals are economic resiliency, infrastructure, which includes sewer, water, energy, transportation, quality of life, and government organizational capacity. And those four target goals came out of our ERR process that involved over 150 unique organizations throughout the region. Some were representing the state on this process. And the target goals were determined based on issues that were either exacerbated or unveiled as a result of the pandemic and the economic shock that was realized from the pandemic. So the target goals have many, many strategies and many, many actions that are in this document that Laura and Clay are going to read every night until they've got it memorized. But anyway, we'll use these target goals, and we're going to now get ready to engage the actions that are in this plan. We are putting together action teams that we wrote the plan. Now we're going to engage it. And those action teams will start meeting the middle of November. So stay tuned. Some of the actions have already been engaged. For example, one of the actions that were identified that needs to be engaged is create an economic recovery and resiliency response plan as a part of the emergency management response plan. So WNDD is now being represented on several state emergency management teams to help develop protocols and actions when there is an emergency that requires economic response and help in recovery for our businesses and communities. stay tuned to that effort. It will involve a big heavy lift from throughout the region and the state to create those actions. The services that we provide include, again, the SEDS. We are very heavily involved in regional planning. We're going to become even more involved with that effort, including one of the actions, which is to develop an infrastructure inventory that exists throughout the region, and then see how they interface with all of our counties and cities, and then see where there are gaps so that we can strengthen our ability to apply for funding for infrastructure grants. So that's going to be a very exciting project that we hope to launch here within the next 6 months. We also do grant research, application management, and administrative assistance. We provide community studies, assessments, and planning. We've done economic development, strategic planning for Churchill County and Pershing County. And we're very heavily involved with UNR Center for Economic Development. Tom Harris serves on our board at this time and assists us with those studies. Some examples of grant research that we're doing right now is we're working with Lake Tahoe Event Center to help them with a grant application for tourism that came out of the ARPA funding from EDA, which I'll go into a little bit later. We're also helping the city of Reno with their Reno Bowling Stadium that they want to diversify its functional use, and we'll be going towards an EDA grant for that project as well. Other grant research we've done for Tahoe Prosperity Center for a Green Jobs Workforce Development Program. We helped join with a workforce career development grant for about $75,000 through the state. Many of our organizations align us primarily with EDA because that's how we are established, and of course we have a direct link to that effort, but we also research grants in other program areas. We also have a business microloan fund. Right now it's pretty tapped out. We've loaned out all the money, so we're looking to recapitalize that program. Again, the ERR plan was developed as a result of the pandemic, the economic shock. It took us about 6 months to complete that, and the WNDD board just approved that ERR plan in June. Another effort I want to just say as a sidebar is our broadband mapping project. That Story County is a member of that project and contributed to that project, as well as our other counties and cities. We have just identified a consultant, GEO Partnership Limited, and we will be signing a contract with them to conduct the mapping project. We're very excited about this project, and they have offered to conduct mapping throughout the state, in addition to our region, for an additional charge for those members of, throughout the state that would like to participate for no additional fee. So I thought that was very generous of them, and we look forward to looping in our other counties and cities in that effort. I talked to you a little bit about the American Rescue Plan funding that's come through. There are six tranches of money, programs that the money's being provided. EDA received $3 billion of the ARPA funding, and they have set up these six programs that include, I'm not going to go into each program, it's in your packet to tell you about those programs and those projects. Two of them are very huge, heavy lifts, and I know the state of Nevada is looking at probably four agencies that are going to apply for the Build Back Better. That's a $1 billion program that's available to provide an opportunity for agency or for communities to have a catalytic impact on their economic environment. So I will tell you that Southern Nevada is going towards that grant. They want to diversify their economy, obviously, as a result of the pandemic. Tourism was really hit badly, and they anticipate 45,000 jobs to not return as a result of that pandemic. They also have the Economic Adjustment Assistance Program, which is one of the most flexible. That's a $500 million grant opportunity. The indigenous communities have a grant opportunity through EDA for $100 million. Another big, huge effort required is the Good Jobs Challenge Grant. That's a $500 million grant, and that is another very complicated grant to apply for, and I know for only I know of only three agencies in the state of Nevada that are applying for this, and this would be again a catalytic change in how workforce development is delivered in a more seamless, non-duplicative, more robust way that ends up in good jobs. EDA typically does not support tourism and travel industry because of them being low-paying jobs, service industry jobs. Senator Cortez Mastow, as well as Congresswoman Dina Titus, worked to carve out 25% of that $3 billion to go through travel and tourism. So that's the project that Lake Tahoe Events Center, that program they're going to apply for funding, as well as the City of Reno's Bowling Stadium. And finally, there's the statewide planning research grant that's going to go to the state, and the state will determine how they're going to distribute those funds. So we're waiting to hear on that. Are there any questions on those grants before I finish up here? If you do have questions or you would like to have more information on how to apply, please don't hesitate to contact us. Some of our regional accomplishments, quickly, we obtained a $600,000 grant for Pershing County and City of Lovelock for the Brownfields Coalition Assessment Grant. We'll be applying again for this grant, and we're going to be looping in Humboldt and Winnemucca. I told you about Joyne's $75,000 grant. Fallon received a $1.7 million grant for their New River Business Park infrastructure. That was some years back. Fernley also got a $1.8 million grant from EDA for their wastewater treatment facility. Mineral County received a $3.4 million, and that was quite a chunk of change because usually EDA only gives $3 million for their industrial park. City of Reno, our most recent successful effort was the City of Reno's Reno Sparks Reclamation Project. We were successful in obtaining a $5 million grant for them last year. And some other examples is Fernley Park improvements for $25,000 through the Land Water Conservation Fund. I just wanted to give you examples of what kind of projects that we try and support and get funding for our agencies for. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Let me go to public comment first. I'll go to the commission next. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
I have no question, thank you. But what a great job you're doing. I remember I'm sorry I lost the name. But
Ron Radio?
Pardon?
Are you thinking of Ron Radio? No?
No. You've been a great help to us in the past. And thank you very much for all those efforts. And it sounds like it's growing.
Right. Yeah. And we appreciate, Commissioner Gilman, all your support over the years for WNDD, your support and participation with the economic development conferences that we used to do and hope to reestablish, and your presentations that you've given over the years to WNDD is greatly appreciated.
So important. Such a wonderful job, and thank you for this today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
So I guess my only question is just trying to understand, you know, I know it's fairly complex under the ARPA programs. What are they targeted towards a specific structure? Are they open to local municipalities? And I know there's a whole variety of them. Or are these more regional-based programs?
Are you talking about the grant opportunities through ARPA?
Yeah, things like the, like Build Back Better.
You know, that's a really good question. Good Jobs Challenge and the Build Back Better programs, they are looking at regional catalytic change. Okay. So just real quick on the Build Back Better grant, There are three phases to that grant. And the first phase is the agency or entities in a collaborative, huge partnership effort will submit a concept paper of what they plan to implement to create economic catalytic change, if you will. And they submit that, and I think it's 10 pages is the limit. Maybe it's five. And that's due October 19th. if the concept is approved by EDA, then they will invite them to apply for a $500,000 planning grant. And so they have, I forget how much time, where they develop the plan on how they are going to implement that concept. They resubmit that to, or submit that to EDA. They review it. If it's approved, then they give them up to $100 million to actually implement the project. And they only are planning to give 30 throughout the United States. So we're really, you know, rooting for our agencies with their effort and helping them in any way that we can. One of the elements of those grant opportunities is they have to demonstrate how it aligns with their local sense. So,
gotcha.
LVGEA has a SEDS. It hasn't been approved yet, but they have a SEDS.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any questions, but okay. I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. It was so nice to meet you.
Likewise. Have a nice day.
Here you go.
Great. Thank you, sir.
I'll test
Nighttime
you.
Nighttime reading.
And now quizzes.
I'm going to actually move up item number 12 before item number 10 due to time constraint. So item number 12, discussion for possible action. Request from the Deputy Secretary for Elections, Mark, I'm going to butcher this, I'm sorry, Voloshin.
Yes, sir.
Nevada Secretary of State's office to discuss formal voter outreach campaign. The intent of this campaign is to provide clear, factual, and nonpartisan information. So, Mark, you have the floor.
Perfect. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Voloshin, Deputy Secretary of State for Elections, for the record. I'm here today on behalf of Secretary of State Barbara Sagaski in order to discuss the plan for our voter outreach campaign and to ask for your assistance. In close coordination with your county clerk, and in addition to her local voter outreach campaign, I intend to spend significant portions of the next 18 to 24 months providing facts to groups of current or future voters. Among the many lessons learned from the 2020 election cycle, we identified the very clear need to spend more time talking with voters about how our elections are conducted and administered at the state and local level. The specific procedural and technical details, something that had not previously been of interest to many voters, are now being discussed at dinner tables, association meetings, and on social media across the state. Unfortunately, many of those discussions include everything from deliberate falsehoods to simple misunderstandings about the federal and state laws to which we maintain strict compliance. That alone has led to significant confusion. But adding to this confusion, the 2021 legislative session created a number of changes to how our elections will be conducted during future election cycles. These changes include different timelines for ballot submission and signature curing, new options for specific classifications of voters, and others that will further complicate voter understanding of an already complex process. While I have an acute understanding of our state's elections law, I do not have as keen an awareness of your constituents, their concerns and questions, or how to best contact them. Therefore, in order to maximize the effectiveness of this voter outreach campaign, I ask that through your county clerk, you direct me towards those advocacy groups, community leaders, and others who could benefit from a discussion about our elections. The conversations can be in person when possible or via Zoom, and there's no limit to how many we can schedule or a deadline by which we must be complete. Of course, I will try to talk to as many people as possible before the 2022 general election on November 8th of next year, but I recognize that these conversations will need to continue well into 2023 and 2024. Of note, I will ask to schedule a similar meeting such as this with our statewide elected officials, your county school board, and many other boards and advocacy groups across the state. I would also like to schedule a follow-up meeting with this board so I'm able to discuss these same items and can answer any questions you may have. Our electoral process is intricate, but our voters deserve to hear from a trusted source about how it works, what Vanessa and her team do to comply with federal and state laws, and why I am firm in my belief that our process is secure. With that being said, I'm available for your questions.
Thank you. I'm going to go to public comment first, and then I'll check with my fellow commissioners. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Yep, please come to the podium. And then state your name for the record.
All right. My name is Christina Schwanke. I am a resident of the Highlands and also the chairwoman of the Story County Republican Party. No offense, I don't know you, but you are not a trusted source. At this point in time, many people have come to me in Story County with concerns about our elections. We have many concerns about the Dominion machines that we've used. Those date back well before the 2020 election with
documentaries such as Kill Chain. This is a nonpartisan thing. You have everybody from Trump to Amy Klobuchar to Elizabeth Warren that have talked about this. We have seen in the past, we have seen in the past month the release of the Arizona audits, which have shown 53,000 perceived fraudulent votes. We have also seen from that audit that there were 17,000 duplicate votes in Arizona, where the margin of victory was only 10,000. They also were able to prove in Arizona that the Dominion machines that are used in this county were connected to the internet, while the Secretary of State will not open those machines and prove otherwise to us. Our voter rolls in Story County, as well as the rest of Nevada, are severely compromised, with many people in the Highlands reporting to me that they received far more than one ballot, up to seven in some cases. People saying that they were getting ballots in nicknames and their real name. Barbara Sagaski herself admitted that 4,000 non-citizens voted in 2020. Well, there has been nothing presented to us in Story County to support that she's doing anything to fix this. In fact, she said that there's no way to check citizenship. So, and then we also have questions as far as, now that we have universal mail-in ballots, who sits on the boards to check and make sure the signatures match. So, yes, there are questions, and I think that it's going to take more than a conversation from our Secretary of State's office. In my opinion, we need a full forensic audit of Clark County and Washoe County, if not the rest of the state, because we are seeing similar problems even in the rural counties. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any more public comment? I don't see anybody in-house. Anybody on Zoom care to chime in? I'll give it just a second. You can use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any takers on public comment on Zoom. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for?
I don't have any questions, but I certainly applaud this effort. I've joined so many that I'm so concerned about the election process in our country today. I believe it's severely compromised, and it's timely that we start working on some outcomes right now. So I'm delighted that you're undertaking that process.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I certainly welcome more communication. And, you know, we've been, of course, having internal conversations within the community with our local representatives. As you might imagine, you know, some of these conversations may be some rough sledding because of the concerns and the gravity of the concerns. But I believe the answer is more, not less. And if you're up to the task, we're happy to have you.
All right, thank you. The only comment I have is I applaud you coming up here, starting this conversation. As you can see, you know, there's definitely one contact you may want to reach out to for further explanation. You know, and I guess we'll just you know, wait to see how things develop. I don't know if you've got a plan to come back up here next, but you know, we look forward to seeing you next time and seeing what else, you know, what other issues you've addressed or are going to address.
Absolutely, sir, and I appreciate that. And the comment about the timing, I think, is one that absolutely warrants addressing. Part of the reason we didn't do this earlier in the year is because Secretary Sagaski didn't want me to come out and say, here are the things we're going to do. She wanted me to be able to come out and say, here are the things that we, in close coordination with the county clerks across the state, have now accomplished to make things even better from 2020, looking to 2022. So certainly I can work with Vanessa. We can identify a time on your schedule that supports, perhaps, again, even an increased amount of participation. Certainly we'll reach out to the individuals that have highlighted concerns to address them. I agree. It's not a one and done. There needs to be a series of conversations, probably to address a number of different concerns across your electorate. But it's certainly something that we're prepared and ready to do. may not always be fun, positive conversations, but they absolutely need to happen. Right. And we recognize that, and that's why Secretary Sagaski has directed us to take these actions. So I do appreciate your time and attention today, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item number 10, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the updated language and requirements for the Story County application for grant funds and the new Story County building restoration grant application. These applications will be for federally registered 501c3 nonprofit organizations located in Story County to apply for county support. Laura.
Thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, Acting Emergency Management Director. A few months ago, I got to meet attorney Bonnie Drinkwater when she gave a presentation for the nonprofits that the county provides support to. We did the presentation at St. Mary's Art Center, and her presentation then was on the fiduciary responsibility of the board of directors, and I was very impressed with her. I got to speak with her a little bit after her presentation. Her knowledge of nonprofits, you know, the whole legality behind them and the funding and the sources and the reporting and all of that is very extensive, both on a professional level for her, but also she's a member of something like 30 nonprofit boards, which is amazing. I met with her a couple of times. We had extensive conversations on best practices for funding support for 501c3 nonprofits. So our goal was equality, transparency, fiduciary responsibility, and providing the nonprofits a way for them to support themselves and for them to govern themselves and run on their own without substantial support from just one organization. A huge responsibility for 501c3s, and really what's very important for their long-run success is to have a very diverse fundraising campaign, requests for support, and those kind of things. So this application, we reworded it so that it is more, again, aligning with best practices for support. It's along the lines of equality, so we will be asking for the exact same documentation from all of the nonprofits. And again, that allows us to really know that we are doing the best for the nonprofits as also as for the citizens within Story County. In addition to the language that we redid on the grant application, we now have an additional application. I have firsthand knowledge from being the director of the Fourth Ward of how incredibly expensive it is to restore and maintain the historic buildings. And for those buildings that are owned by Story County, there is an additional application where the nonprofits can apply for support that is specifically for the buildings. So the money will go directly to the restoration project or maintenance or any sort of those repairs that need to be done. And I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Fantastic. Thank you, Laura. Is there any public comment regarding item number 10? We'll just give it a second here and see if anybody chimes in. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura?
I have none, but thank you, Laura, very much.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Just a couple thoughts. You know, I certainly support allowing private organizations to meet community needs when and where possible. You know, I think that's a model that works well in a small community like ours. And in addition to that, I acknowledge and support the need for better transparency and accountability and making sure that we have a proper process in place. I think the only conflict that I have internally, which is not necessarily a reason to not support this move, but is that along with those efforts for greater transparency and accountability comes greater complication, greater paperwork needs, greater bureaucracy, for lack of a better term. And I think these are things we're trying to balance, right? We want to be lean. We want to move. We want to be agile. We don't want to burden with process that slows down or takes away from the work that these nonprofits do. And at the same time, there's a certain amount that has to be in place for us to have proper accountability for the taxpayer funds that are supporting these organizations. So that's just the balance that I'm hoping that can be struck as we move forward and gain the goals that are important and needed, and at the same time try not to lose on our on the nimble way that we usually handle things.
I agree. And what we are asking for, so I think the really good thing is that all of the nonprofits that I work directly with, their executive directors have, several of them have very extensive backgrounds in grants, grant writing, grant management. So we're not asking them for anything that they don't supply to all of the other grantors and foundations and those kind of things. So everything that we are asking for, they should already have, hopefully have been submitted, you know, multiple times to private private foundations that grant money, as well as state and federal. So, and again, you know, like with everything else, I'm happy to work with everybody. If anybody has any questions on these requirements, or, you know, maybe not, hopefully everything's crystal clear, but if they have any, you know, concerns about anything, I'm happy to work with them. But again, everything that is on our list of what we require is what a private foundation who grants out funds would require. State Historic Preservation Office, when they grant out funds, they require it as well.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I just want to say, you know, I've worked with you a little bit on this, and I like the direction that we're going. You know, everything's going to be uniform for the communities, 501c3s, and I just, you know, I look forward to getting this thing rolling.
So. Me too.
That's all I have. With that said, do you entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the updated language and requirements for the Story County application for grant funds and the new Story County Building Restoration Grant application. These applications will be for federally registered 501c3 nonprofit organizations located in Story County to apply for county support.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 11. This is discussion only. Update on progress of action items identified in the Story County Hazard Mitigation Plan as required by participation in the National Flood Insurance Program Community Rating System. Kathy?
Yes. Good morning. So I'm Kathy Canfield for the record. So Story County belongs to the National Flood Insurance Program. And as part of that program, we also, they have a program called the Community Rating System, which we also belong to. As being part of the Community Rating System, or the CRS, we have to give an annual progress report on our hazard mitigation plan to our governing body, which would be you. We have to post it on our website, and then we also have to share it with the media. So this is us doing that portion that we're required to do. For our hazard mitigation plan, we have an action item section. I reached out to all the different individuals throughout the county that would be responsible for those items, and they gave me their update on where they're at. Our hazard mitigation plan was adopted in June of 2020, so we've just had a little over a year of those items. Typically, that plan is updated every 5 years, and I just gave a little brief report of where everybody is, and I was pleasantly surprised at how many things have actually been started and working on, knowing what this last year was like and how resources were dealing with other unexpected items. So. There's no action needed. It's just to present, and if there's any comments, I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Let's see if there's any comments from the public. Again, you can star six to unmute yourself, use the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any?
I have no
anything
questions.
For Kathy? Vice Chairman Mitchell?
My only question was going to be how you felt we did, but you said you're pretty pleased with the progress.
I'm not in charge of the progress, but I was pretty pleased. Whether that matters to anybody, I don't know.
Very good.
Good to hear it. I don't have anything for you, Kathy. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you again for the presentation.
This is posted on our website and will be posted again on social media that it's available on the website. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. We moved up to item number 12. We're on item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of interlocal agreement between Story County and Washoe County to provide meals to the Lockwood Community Senior Center at the rate of $3.63 for an average of 20 or more meals per day over a five-day week, Monday through Friday. Stacy taking this?
Good morning, this is Stacy again. So we provide meals to Lockwood from Washoe County. We've been doing it for at least 5 years since I've been here. So this is just renewing our contract with Washoe County to provide those meals.
Okay. Has the price gone up?
No, it stayed the same.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. We'll take some public comment on item number 13, if there is any. Is that a hand raised? Oh, gotcha. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything on this?
I believe this is a positive project, and it will certainly benefit the Lockwood community and senior center.
Indeed.
So I'm very supportive here.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I think we'll have to take a look. If and when we have the commercial kitchen, we'll want to take a look at that, but I don't know if even then it would make sense for us to do this on a regular basis for such a small, usually for a small number of meals, there's a substantial kind of startup cost, if you will. So I'm supportive.
Yep. Price looks good to me. I don't have any questions for Stacy. So with that said, you want to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the interlocal agreement between Story and Washoe County to provide meals to the Lockwood Community Senior Center at a rate of $3.63 for an average of 20 or more meals per day over a five-day week, Monday through Friday, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
All right, bringing us on to item number 14, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District. Bringing us up to item number 15, which is for discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action to approve the purchase of a dozer and necessary modifications for the fire district out of the capital reserve funds, not to exceed $58,000. On behalf of the chief.
Yes, Shane Dixon, battalion chief and wildland coordinator for Story County Fire Protection District. Chief Longcar is out of town. So he asked me to come speak about this. This one I hold pretty near to my heart because I was one of the guys that started the original dozer program with Story County. And unfortunately, since putting this on the agenda and this meeting, the said dozer that we were looking to purchase has sold. So with that being said, I spoke with Chief Longcar this morning. And he has spoke to the comptroller, and we'd like to see if we could raise the amount to $100,000 so we can start watching and see sometime in this budget cycle if another machine will come up. The way it sits right now, so far this year, we've billed out $76,000 for our current dozer. Last year, we billed out $782,143 in fire billings from off-district assignments. Now our dozer does not leave this region. We keep it available for Story County. So the idea of getting a second dozer, we always have a dozer that is in the county available for any fire in the county and can send the second dozer out to
our partners. So that's where I'm at with that. We'd like to see if, like I said, if we could put aside $100,000 to allow us to purchase one if we can find one.
Okay. Is that all you've got?
For the first one, yeah.
Okay. So I'll go to public comment on this for item number 15. Does anybody have any public comment regarding potential dozer purchase?
This is Jennifer, Story County Comptroller.
Yes.
I'd like to make a couple comments, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had worked to make the budget adjustments for the $58,000 dozer. There's going to be more work looking for an extra $100,000 in the fire department's already very tight budget. So if you do approve this, I would appreciate you making the note that it is pending budget approval.
Okay.
And actually, Jen, if I may, it's not an extra $100,000. My apology if I didn't convey that well. It would be raising the 58 to $100,000, and it would be contingent on fire billings coming in from this year.
So basically, you need
another $42,000.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Noted. Anything else, Jennifer?
No, that's it. I would just like the opportunity to review where the billings are and where we're going to make sure that that money is available.
Okay, fair enough. Any other public comment? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you, sir.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
Shane, you mentioned about $76,000. Roughly what we've made off the dozer in this last cycle. Roughly what percentage of that needs to cover hard costs, and roughly what percentage can be applied towards the asset?
That's a great question. So the $76,000 is strictly billing for the dozer. We bill dozer chase, transport, a heavy equipment boss. So really it winds up being double that. Usually, this dozer that we're running now cost us $25. It was a government excess. Those are no longer available, unfortunately. but as far as maintenance, we put in, I would say, probably 20% of whatever we make goes back into the dozer. Next year will be a fairly large year because around every 4,000 hours, a dozer requires a new undercarriage. And our dozer's ready for an undercarriage, which is a pretty large undertaking. But I hate to take it out of service for any amount of time to get that undercarriage if I don't have something else available. And like I said, that $76,000, that dozer only goes to local fires. The idea of this, we could re-status nationally. When we were status nationally 10 years ago, we were averaging $750,000 a year in fire billings.
Wow. Just for my edification, is fuel in the mix?
When we are on an assignment, the fuel is covered through the fire. The fire pays for the fuel, and anything that breaks on the machine while it's on that fire is covered under the Fed contract.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. I don't have any questions. I've always known them to be a good moneymaker for the district. So, assuming Vice Chairman, you're comfortable with the noted modification to the motion?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, looking forward as well, with the major maintenance that needs to be done, I think just that alone makes sense to look at acquiring another one, especially if it can pay for itself. So, great. So I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of a dozer and necessary modifications out of the Fire District Capital Reserve Funds in an amount not to exceed $100,000. And I make this motion pending budget approval. Period. Sorry. No, I left the sentence hanging, but I didn't mean to. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you mind in that pending budget approval by the Comptroller's Office and the I think the Comptroller's Office will be sufficient in this case in just making sure that she can make sure that that funding is available in the fire fund. Thank you.
Sure. So I'll modify my motion to include by the Comptroller's Office in that budget approval.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. Moving right along to item number 16. This discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the district fire chief to enter into an agreement for fuels reduction with NV Energy and Nevada Division of Forestry.
Okay, so as you guys know, we went through the contract with Nevada Division of Forestry that we started, I think we started that in April, I believe it was. Everything's going great with it. We were given $3 million. We just purchased a Cat skid steer with a mastication head, a chip truck. We've got 5 employees working every day, mostly in the Highlands, doing fuels work. The only caveat to that is it's mainly under transmission lines. In the last legislative session, they came up with Senate Bill 508. 508 was $5 million from the state and then matching $5 million from NV Energy. Basically, what 508 did was gave the ability for the state to put some money towards making these fuel breaks under power lines larger. So instead of sticking with NV Energy's easement, which depending on the line could be anywhere from 25 to 300 feet, being able to go upwards of 600 to 1,000 feet from these lines and making fuel breaks. We were one of the late people to come to the 508 thing, so there's no money up front. It's basically a zero-based budget. If we can get a project that fits in with 508 funds under this contract, we can bill the state for fuels work that we're doing in our county, as long as it falls under something that 508 thinks needs to be done. So it would basically just give us another funding source to do more aggressive fuels work through Story County, which, in my opinion, we need as much as we can get.
Yeah, definitely. All right. With that, let's... I'm not cutting you off.
No, you're right.
Okay. With that, let's go to public comment for item number 16. Is there anybody out there that has any comment regarding this item? I don't see any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Shane?
I have nothing now, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you?
No.
All right, nor do I. So with that said, Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I fire Commissioner Mitchell move to approve the District Fire Chief to enter into an agreement for fuels reduction reimbursement with NV Energy and the Nevada Division of Forestry.
Second.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
All right. Item number 17 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us up to item number 20. This is an update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding SCR 11. Formerly BDR 1109 and 1148, Interim Legislative Committee to Study Innovation Zone Draft Legislation and Other Properly Related Matters.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
On item 20, I'm going to recuse. Okay. I hold a pecuniary interest in one of the entities that's involved in this particular discussion, so I'll not enter the discussion or voting on this item.
All right. Noted. Thank you, Commissioner. With that said, Austin, are you taking this?
Sure. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. You know, from the last meeting, we had talked about the September 21st second committee meeting that we had engaged with our lobbyists, as well as Commissioner Mitchell and myself, giving our presentation on Story County side of the subject matter. Since then, we've been monitoring the situation, and we've gotten some word that we're still verifying and validating that the matter may be folding up and going away or something of that nature. We don't have absolute confirmation of it, and we're treating it at this point as if things are still proceeding forward, and we're preparing with our data analysis and our team approach to this matter. So at this point, my recommendation to this board would be to once again reaffirm the attached letter that came from April 6th. And that, of course, is that we continue to support cryptocurrencies. We continue to support technology related to blockchains and these sorts of things. That we continue to support all of the research and development and other economic development exercises that have been proposed and which are allowable in Story County and Tri-Center. And then also to support the Painted Rock planned unit development, Smart City, and then to oppose separate local governances. It is my recommendation that regardless of where this committee goes, right or left, that we continue to support these things into the foreseeable future as they are specified in our master plan. They're specified in our subdivision ordinances, and they've been very clearly stated by this board as well as from our team to the legislature on numerous occasions on the record. Painted Rock is a good thing, and whether it's this developer or someone else, we would still hopefully like to see, or not hopefully, but we would like to see that development occur in that area. At this point, I'm happy to answer any questions, and there is a motion written down for preparation.
All right. Thank you for that, Austin. I'll go to public comment first. Is there any public comment on item number 20? Purple iPad, you have your hand up. Purple iPad, disappear. You need to unmute yourself. Whoever owns the purple.
My apologies.
No problem.
It's Eileen Gay, Painted Rock resident. This was the only iPad I had in the house I could use, and it's not labeled correctly to help you out. I just wanted to offer my extreme gratitude and support for the type of presentation that Story County's been able to make at these meetings. I was able to sit through most of the meeting in September and listen to the recorded portion because I had to miss the Story County presentation, but very impressive. I want to thank the commissioners, the city manager, and the lobbyist for the amount of information and thoroughness with which they've approached the secession from the county that Innovation Zone would propose. So my thanks again for that continued and very thorough effort. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Eileen. Is there anybody else that has any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right, nor do I. So with that said, Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to reaffirm our direction to county staff, lobbyists, and professional services to consider appropriate research, analyses, and actions on SCR 11, the Innovation Zone Interim Study, which will best protect and represent the county, to continue opposing separatist government concepts, and to promote economic and land development, including a PUD at Painted Rock, through existing legal framework and the 2016 Master Plan of Story County.
All right. There was a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Thank you again, Eileen, for your comments. Moving on to item number 21.
Chairman Carmona.
Yes.
Excuse me, Chairman Carmona. In thinking about this a little further, I'd like to go back to the Fire Protection District number 16, because the actual agenda item says that the funds were not to exceed $58,000 today. So I think it needs to be continued to the next meeting because of the amount that's being asked this time exceeds the amount that was requested as far as the agenda item. So I think based on the fact that it is a higher amount, based on the fact that it looks like something that needs to be discussed with the comptroller, I would go back and request that item be moved to the next agenda.
All right. So we're just going to make a motion to put this off to the next meeting?
I, Yes, I'd go back to the Fire Protection District, because the more I think about it, it exceeds the amount that is posted in this agenda. So I'd like to just go back and ask for that to be continued and brought forth at next meeting with the changes that have been made by Shane Dixon today.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Chairman, D.A. Langer, would you suggest that the chairman just open the item up and go through the whole motion, public comment, kind of the whole normal gamut, and then they can take that motion? And as far as administratively with staff, I know that we can work with the comptroller and the fire chief to prepare for the next meeting if that were to occur.
Yes, that's exactly what I'd like to see happen. Again, I apologize for this, but the more I think about it, it's just something that needs to be done.
Okay.
Is there a need to unwind the previous motion that we passed?
Yes, I would ask that, I would do exactly what County Manager Osborne just said, is that we need to go back, unwind the motion, set it for the next meeting, go through the public comment again. So that would be probably the best way to handle it.
Okay. So
based on the fact that it exceeded the amount of money in the motion, that we need to come back and correct it, a corrective action in the next meeting. So it just needs to be put on the agenda for the next meeting with the changes and then be addressed again. But we need to open up that particular item and explain that.
Okay. So we're going to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District. We're going to revisit item number 15. We are going to...
16.
15.
It's 15.
It's the dozer item.
Okay.
So right. We are going
to... Okay.
Are you done? Can I move forward?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
This is item number 15. We previously made a motion. We are going to retract that motion. We're going to revisit this item. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the purchase of a dozer and necessary modifications for the fire district out of the capital reserve funds, not to exceed $58,000. Because the amount requested is more than what was listed in the agenda item, we are going to make a motion to continue this item to the next...
October 19th
meeting.
At the Story County Courthouse.
At the Story County Courthouse. So you got all that?
Before, Mr. Chairman, and I'll look to D.A. Langer, do you want to, now that you've read the agenda language, now make the retraction of the prior motion?
Okay. So I'm going to retract... Yes. I'm going to retract the prior motion that was made.
That probably has to be done through a new motion. Because we passed it. So.
That would be fine. Just make a motion.
Okay.
Right.
Can I make one motion that does both? So
I'm going to let you talk with the DA.
So, DA Langer, can I make one motion that retracts the previous motion and continues the item? Or is it cleaner to do those as separate motions?
I think you're fine doing it the way you just suggested.
Okay, well, let me take public comment
first. Meaning that you can do both in one motion.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me take public comment on item number 15. Is there any public comment on item number 15? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell with the super motion.
Yeah, so for the record, Commissioner Mitchell, in light of the change in the dollar amount on this item being requested, I move to rescind our previous motion to approve and to continue this item to our October 19th meeting at the Story County Courthouse for further consideration.
Second.
And then before a full motion is made, if you don't mind, and I'll ask the DA if that would be appropriate, when you continue this to the 19th, that agenda language may change with a higher set amount. So there will be modifications to that agenda language by that time, by the fire chief.
Okay. Is there a need to include that in the motion, or is there latitude for it to come
back? No, I don't think it I don't think it needs to be included in the motion. I just think that we, I think just basically what you did works.
Austin, I referenced that it was because it was a higher dollar amount, and okay. So I think that leaves the door open for that. So.
Right.
All right, so there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. Sorry for the confusion.
No problem. Thanks for that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, and then we need to reconvene as the...
Yeah, we're going to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and that is bringing us on to item number 21, which is for discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for general business license for Virginia City Trading Company, located at 62 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Sheriff's office handling this?
It is a sheriff's item.
Yes, the sheriff's office is handling it.
You got the floor.
All right. Just because it's kind of an odd deal, normally this would have gone to the to community development. However, the applicants in this matter are seeking to sell firearms. However, they got things out of kilter and they're still working on their ATF permitting for it. So we've gone ahead and processed it. They want to sell ammunition and gun parts and equipment and stuff, everything short of firearms, which actually require the ATF license. So rather than having to come back to this at a future point, we've gone ahead and just done it now. We have completed the background investigations. There's nothing that would prohibit them from doing what it is that they are wanting to do, up to and including the firearms, as soon as they receive the ATF permitting. But they are wanting to proceed forward with selling the related equipment, and then they'll, once they have their ATF authorization, then they'll incorporate firearms into the business.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding item number 21? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No.
All right. Neither do I. So with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the second reading of the general business license for the Virginia City Trading Company at 62 North C Street in Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff.
I realize that it's late in the day and there's not a, but a couple of items, but could we have about a 5-minute recess?
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Yep. We will take a recess and reconvene at 12 o'clock.